This is Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ.
Good morning, Ed Smith here, and joining me on the phone is Elaine Spall, the Executive Director of the Center for Youth in Rochester. Good morning.
Good morning, Ed. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm a great Legends fan, and as you know, every day at noon, I have to hear the anthem, which is awesome, and I also will tell you that I'm always stumped with Maggie's questions, and so one of these times, I'm going to get them right, but I never call in. I just guess on my own. But it's incredibly entertaining, and people mean well. But you guys have such a positive, energetic approach to everything, not just the music, but the repertoire and the way you connect with people. So it's really heartwarming. So I love being with you, and I'm just grateful to Legends for the support you've given to the center over the years.
The Center for Youth, you guys have been busy, right? We've got summer programs kind of wrapping up here.
We had an interesting summer. So we took on the former Monroe YMCA about a year and a half ago and really did an enormous amount of renovations. And we're about a tenth of a mile over the 490 bridge from the mothership to the 797 former Monroe Y, and we call it the Bridge to Peace. Our kids named that. They named it a Bridge to Peace between the two buildings at a time when we need peace in our community. And it was a group of young people. And it goes back to almost 51 years ago when young people were those people who ran the Center for Youth. First executive director was 19. Now, you know I'm not 19. 19 plus, a whole bunch more. But it was the youth voice that mattered then, and we found ourselves recreating and pulling that youth voice back together. And with youth leaders, young youth leaders are running. I said we gave them the keys to the building, and it was a massive, massive, massively successful summer because we had kids in large numbers, little kids, 5, 6, 7, coming for academic tutoring, all the way to our AAU basketball guys playing in the gym, and then a step team and dance and music and art and lots of young people looking for jobs through our workforce program. So, it was a summer of great sadness in a way. We had a lot of violence on the streets. Mm. We continue to struggle with that. We do a lot of restorative work. And now we're getting ourselves our training this week and next week to get back and ready to go back into schools where we know our kids have struggled. I mean, our kids have had years of uncertainty, and it shows. It really shows. And I know that you guys and others understand that mental health and behavioral health has really targeted our young people.
And Elaine, you guys are providing them help with that. I know, hearing just from what I'm hearing from the headlines, teacher shortages, and of course, you touched on the mental health piece too that's going on. You guys are providing help for kids in that way?
So we're not a mental health facility because everything we do is voluntary. Mm-hmm. So if you really need, treatment or you need mental health, we're going to find a good place for you. But we are all about restorative work, social emotional work, and really counseling and case management. So absolutely, we're a wraparound. Listen, I tell people, Ed, if we had a fire truck, I would have a small city. we have our own snowplow. We have shelters. We have a food cupboard. We have a step team. We have a violin orchestra. We have teen court. I mean, we've got everything. And of course, we run the largest number of shelters, residential homeless shelters in our county. Something happened during COVID, which we were fearful of, and that was, many bad things happened, but one thing that happened was all of our colleagues running youth shelters walked away from the work, found it too hard to staff, too hard to fund. So we stand alone, which we don't like. We like having partners. We do stand alone. We're the only agency right now serving young people ages 12 to 21 in emergency shelter.
Wow.
And that means that if you're 18 or 19 and you don't have a place, you really are lost, and we're doing everything we can. We have these wonderful host home families who open their doors, and we have some, emergency care. But honestly, homelessness is a public health crisis. It's a different kind of epidemic. It's an epidemic that we stopped measuring because we were so busy worrying about other epidemics, right? But now we see the impact of homelessness and trauma and violence. And that's what I think is so hard on our kids. Every one of our kids has experienced or knows somebody or is aware of someone who has been impacted by violence. And this is not what we want for our children.
No, definitely not. You know, as a father of a two-year-old, you certainly want to keep them safe and healthy and happy. And so if somebody does have a kid or a grandkid maybe that is struggling and they can reach out to you?
Yeah, and I think the greatest impact we're having right now, and of course we're gearing up to go back, we have dozens and dozens of young staff, center staff, paid staff, embedded in schools.
Great.
All over Monroe County, Penfield and Greece and Hilton, and now we're in places like, you know, I'm a city girl, so I don't get to Mount Morris or Pavilion or Arcport. I'm not even exactly sure. Geneseo, I think I know. There's a university there. I actually am teasing you, but we are now in a lot of rural areas because, you know, rural poverty is very, very difficult. It's different than urban poverty because it doesn't have the density. It might not have as much violence. But, you know, when our kids don't have resources, when they don't have what they need in terms of stable food and stable housing, you know, bad things happen. And our kids make decisions often without enough adult support. So we like to say where there's not a natural support, the center will step in. You know, we run Teen Court. It's a 25-year-old program, which is an alternative program for first-time youthful offenders. We're trying to get kids out of the system in positive ways, get them into the jobs, have a workforce program. And that's really what our kids need. They need economic justice and equity. And we're able to do that. And we have lovely, lovely, lovely foundation support and wonderful support from this community that makes us serve up to 30,000 kids a year. And it's a growing number. And listen, I'd love to close my doors, but that's not likely to happen soon.
Unfortunately, you know, we love working with you, but I think that the need is going to be there, Elaine, for a while for sure. And you'd mentioned the workforce program. Tell me more about that.
Well, we have one of the largest workforce programs in the county. We call it Learned to Earn. And that really has been a longstanding program funded by federal dollars through Rochester Works and the WEA program. And that's really a place where kids can tackle any barriers they might have to finding the next step to being fully engaged as citizens and employees. And a lot of our young people will share that they don't really know what it means to get up and go to work. They might not be familiar. They might not understand what it takes to walk into a place, to be part of a team, to be on time, right? To be on time and to dress appropriately. And sometimes our kids will have a false start. They'll go in and they'll say, well, you know, Miss Elaine, I wasn't kept. I was let go. And I said, what happened? Well, I was late the first 3 days. Well, yeah, that's not going to work. So, you know, those are the kinds of wonderful soft skills. And then, of course, they're learning how to do things as well. And we want to get our kids into higher level skills and give them opportunities. We have a relationship with Rochester General. Some of our kids are finding their ways into the healthcare system. We have a new relationship we're even developing with Career Start. And they've got all kinds of jobs. And we've had a wonderful interaction with a wonderful young woman from Paychex. And Paychex is a big, big, big company, and they have some jobs that could be entry level. We've had a new relationship with Enterprise. You know, they're car folks, and they rent cars, but they need people who are doing things like detailing and, you know, taking orders and being on the phone. And these are all companies who are reaching out to us and saying, we want your kids to join us. So it's really, there's a lot of good news, Ed, despite all the bad news.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good news. And those are just three or four examples of companies reaching out saying, how can we work more closely? Today, Five Star Bank, wonderful supporter, had a financial literacy. We sent 10 of our kids there to talk with them about savings and banking and what it means. And you know, we know that our kids want more for themselves. Their parents want more for themselves. They may not have made the connections to make those things happen. And so, you know, Ed, we're also getting ready for Fashion Week of Rochester. And I should try to get you on the runway someday. That would be an interesting opportunity.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I'm not sure if it's what you want, but it would be fun. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, 12 years ago, I got a call from someone who said, listen, I'm a designer in town, a stylist, and I moved here from from another place, and they had a one-night like fashion show. I wonder if we could do something like that. And someone said I should call you because people would like it better if we raise funding for something that mattered like homelessness. I said, okay, sure. And I said, sure. And that was the first year. And we had two shows, and we raised $35,000.
Wow.
In 2019, we raised $1 million.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, then COVID hit us hard, and we had to take a year off. And we came back last year, and we did pretty well. And we're going to go back again to the Dome Arena. And the reason I love the Dome, you know, I'm a city girl. I was a city councilwoman for 12 years. I like to do things in the city. But the Dome Arena is the place that started reaching out to this community to put shots in arms for COVID, and it recovered quickly because of it. And I think that I wanted to go there. Also, they have an air filtration system that transfers the air every 15 minutes, so you feel like you're outside. And it's just big and terrific. So we're going back there on October 13th through 15th, three glorious nights in October. Each of the shows has a different theme, kind of fun, lots of sponsors, corporate sponsors, and then always a ticket for $25, $35 for people who just want to come and watch a show. And, you know, the proceeds, all the proceeds after our expenses, which we hold pretty steady, all the proceeds go to homelessness. We have at least three programs that are completely funded by the goodwill of foundations and Fashion Week, and no governmental money at all. So, you know, we have a community, we have an opportunity to look good and do good, and it's kind of fun, right? Have you ever been to Fashion Week?
I haven't. I've seen pictures and video, and when I used to work for Wegmans, you know, involved on the back end, but I've never actually been in person.
Yes. Well, it might be the first, we got to get you guys there. We'll figure that out. And, you know, I think that what we love about it is it really is, you know, it's not a traditional Paris runway. Meg Mundy, who's my partner, she's a CFO, chief fashion organizer. She's not looking for size zeros. She's not looking for, you know, women that are 6'2". She's looking for all shapes and sizes, all genders, all choices around loving who you love and being who you are, and really like little kids and older people, and just everybody is on the runway together. And, you know, we do have some challenges. One of our houses, the Arnett House, serves young people who are transgender or LGBT, who have been victims of sex trafficking, and that program is completely funded by Fashion Week. So we want to make sure people understand what we stand for, and people stand with us. People stand with us. When I ask someone, can I count on you, they say yes. And I think people just need to be asked. You know, that's one of my messages. You just have to ask people for help. And if they can help you, they will. They want to help. And, you know, they're reading the papers. They're seeing what's going on with young people. And they want to be part of the solution. So it's a good time. Again, in the midst of so much darkness, violence and poverty and, like, bad stuff, right, disease, we do see these shining stars, these shining lights. So it's all good.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. We're speaking with Elaine Spall from the Center for Youth. And Elaine, just thinking, you know, over the last, gosh, over a year now, we keep hearing that, you know, everything is more expensive and people are struggling, living paycheck to paycheck or falling behind. Are you guys seeing an increase with that?
Well, what we're seeing is, you know, hard hit by inflation, of course. And our biggest challenge, as you can imagine, is retaining and recruiting a good, solid staff.
Mm.
The work that we do cannot be done effectively remotely. We try. You try, of course. You can counsel someone. You can try to meet them online. You can talk with them. You can text. There's nothing like being face-to-face with a young person in need. So our staff is on the front line, crisis care, in shelters, in the crisis nursery, in schools. And other places are offering a whole lot more money to stay on your computer, right?
Right.
So we're struggling. We had the great resignation. We're seeing even now some of our staff, hopefully not too many, are being borrowed, taken, stolen, actually by the school districts that we're partnering with. They know our staff, and they're there, and they're short-staffed. So it's like everyone's, you know, everyone's grabbing. And what we're trying to do is retain our staff and keep them. But, you know, when you have to walk into an emergency shelter and take a shift from, you know, 12 to 8 p.m., or you could stay on your computer at home, it's even if you want to do the work, it's a challenge. So that's the biggest thing we're facing right now. So if you're listening and you're prepared to work hard and work well and want to really make a difference in the life of a young person, now please check out the centerforyouth.net. And there's a whole place around jobs, and we've got something for everybody. We have residential programs, people in schools, and even people working on the street. So we have it all. And the other thing that I'm really feeling very positive about is some of our planned giving work. I think I mentioned before, we do live and die by the goodwill of people. And I'm trying to remind people across this community that when they think about their own legacy and who they are and what they're leaving behind, and if they feel that their own children have what they need and have had a lot of blessings, then look at your will and have the power of a will, and leave behind some funds for programs and children that you'll never know and who can never pay you back. And that's what we do here at the Center for Youth. And we've got some wonderful people have stepped up and said, I want to be remembered this way, and my kids are fine. I'm going to leave them what they need, and I'm going to add in. And it doesn't have to be the center. I'm just sort of planting seeds as we go through these tough times for people to really use a powerful tool, which is their own legacy giving. And I'm not sure people like to talk about this, by the way, because it means you'll be gone when it happens. But, you know, we got to be honest about how we can leverage what's going on. You know, Ed, I wanted to ask you just yourself, in terms of the work that you do, how you guys stay so positive, how you do have this positive energy. You know, I'm not saying that other radio stations don't, but, you know, the other media seem to be pulled into just such you know, dark stories, and you guys just keep going.
We've got a great team here for sure. You know, that helps. And we've got a good leader, a good owner, and everything. And it's that focus that, you know, for over 20 years now, my gosh, that been focused on the local community. And I'm a believer like you, Elaine, that there is always a positive light out there in the community somewhere. And it doesn't always get the attention that the negative stuff does, but just staying focused on that, you know, and remembering the good in people. And I think that, you know, you make a good point there, that you just have to ask sometimes, and then you find out something amazing that you never knew was right here in your backyard.
Right. You know, and I think that's where the connections have to continue, and we have to, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I never watched TV with my husband for hours at night. I mean, yeah. We just didn't, right? And certainly our kids are grown, and we have grandchildren. We care for them as well. But all of a sudden during COVID, you started watching. Now we have this pattern of, like, what's on Netflix? And I think we have creature comfort, and we're not easily joining the world socially as we, I mean, we still do, of course, but I don't know. But so that's where we have to work harder to reach out, even if it's by phone or text or email or something, because, you know, we had a gap in social connections, and we want to reconnect that way. You know, I read to a third grade class, and sometimes, and I've been on Zoom with them, and it's not the same. Mm-hmm. Sitting in the classroom with them, and they're all on their little screens, and some of them are pajamas, but it's not the same as sitting in a classroom looking at these beautiful children. You know, we've got a lot of work to do. We have to bridge the gap that we lost, and we have to be brave, and we have to be courageous, and we have to take risks, and we have to remember that we're all in this together. And again, you know, if somebody asks you for help, you help them, and if you can't, maybe just don't make it worse, and don't look for the negative, because it sure is there. And that I always admire you guys, because, you know, I know that when I tune in, I'm not in the car very often. I live very close to my office, and I'm not a city councilman anymore, so I'm not driving around the city as much. You know, I like the vibe, because I like the positive energy.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. You know, it's like you said, it's easy to get sucked into the negative, but definitely I think it's more rewarding in the long run when you focus on all the good that's right here in our community. And great way to get involved with that Center for Youth, like you're saying, looking for volunteers, staff members. And I forgot to ask you earlier, Elaine, if somebody's listening, you've got the Fashion Week coming up. If they want to get involved, are you still looking for help?
About Fashion Week, we're almost completely cast. I know that sounds crazy, but we do these casting calls, and we've got young people, many children and families, and no dogs this year. You know, we've got dogs, we had a pig once, we had a small horse.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're going to stick with them. I mean, we're going to have bicycles, but maybe no dogs or no small animals as well. You never know. I could be surprised. But I want people to take a look at when we're ready to come out. We're going to sell tickets both individually and in groups on Eventbrite. Very simple. I want to always be the show that has a $100 ticket and a $25 ticket. We want to make sure everybody can come. And the Dome gives us that chance because of the balcony. The balcony is right there. Obviously, we have large corporate sponsorships that come in at 5,000 or more, and tables of 10. You can order food and drinks, and it's really, really high-end. But we're not going to ever be the place that says that's all we care about. We want to reflect the values of the center, which are inclusive and opening doors and making sure that people understand that we are all in this together. No one's better. You know, Ed, we do a lot of work with young people in circles, restorative circles. And I love a circle because there's no head, there's no back, there's no side. You're in it together. And no one's more important. No voice is more important. And we've been finding that those circles have had such an impact on some of our young people facing, even involved with violence or gangs or other kind of really challenging stories, that to be in a circle and to be part of a team where there's no judgment and you have a chance to share has really, really made a difference. So we want to continue with that work as much as we can. But we'd love to see people come to Fashion Week and join us. It would be just terrific.
Excellent. And if people are interested, again, they've got more details on your website, right? Centerforyouth.net.
And FashionWeek.org is out there also. You can check the Fashion Week website as well. Obviously, Fashion Week is an affiliate of the center. We're the one that produce it with Meg as my co-partner here. But it is a program of the Center for Youth, and it's just a kick. It's a kick. It's a blast. It really is. You know, I've convinced some high-profile people to walk the runway. If they don't chicken out, you can come and watch them. But it would just be great to have lots and lots of people come October 13th through 15th and celebrate with us what our community is all about. And I think you'll be impressed with the energy and the joy and the talent that you would see. So it would be great.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent. Yeah. And we appreciate all the work that you and the other volunteers and staff are doing in the city of Rochester. So thank you for your service.
For sure. So God bless you, Ed, and thank you so much for all that you guys are doing and bringing to our community as well.
You've been listening to Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ, a part of the DJRO Broadcasting Company.